Blog Talk Radio.
Factory rebates up to $6,250. Interest rates as low as 0%. Ford dealer during our President's Day celebration. Now get up to $4,750 cash back on the 2015 Ford Super.
Good morning. I'm back.
Well, as
here,
we've been telling you all night, another winter weather system is moving into New Mexico just as today is leaving.
Anyway, let me tell you what happened.
That means more cold
on,
temperatures and
last
snow.
Weekend,
Caleb James is live near Gallup to tell us what it looks like right now, Caleb.
Ryan, how do you explain
I'll
how
tell you
quickly
just a second,
the snow has started
good
coming
nice
down?
To,
well, the shoulder along I-40 here
again,
really tells us the snow story in Dallas tonight because just about 15, 20 minutes ago, this entire stretch of shoulder along I-40 was just dry as anything. I mean, there was no accumulation whatsoever. We're already getting snow sticking on the ground here.
I was out of town, and I was in Utah, and it was let me just tell you this. My mother passed away a few months ago, and I didn't say anything. I guess, you know, although I have a radio show, kind of a
factory
private
rebates up to $6,250. Interest
my
rate is low as
0%.
3,000 new
Ford. Kind of an old age type of thing. And there was no funeral for her, and that's kind of was in her will. She was the kind of person who didn't like to inconvenience people, but we had talked.
Well, as we've been telling you all night, another winter weather system is moving into New Mexico just as today's is leaving. And that means more cold temperatures and snow. Caleb James is live near Gallup. Tell us what it looks like right now, Caleb.
The radio schedule, it's kind of hard for me to travel.
Yeah, Ryan, how do you explain how quickly the snow has started coming down? Well, the shoulder along I-40 here really tells our snow story in Gallup tonight because just about 15, 20 minutes ago, this entire stretch of shoulder along I-40 was just dry as anything. I mean, there was no accumulation whatsoever. We're already getting snow sticking on the ground here on the side of I-40. And you know, of course, when it sticks, it means more is going to stick. Road conditions are going to get more treacherous. And, of course, we don't expect the snow to stop. We also don't expect the temperatures here in Gallup overnight to get any higher. So that combination means we're going to see more snow on the ground overnight into tomorrow morning. Drivers beware. Give yourself extra time in the morning. Give yourself extra time tonight. Be careful about how fast you're going on these roads. We've seen a little.
So anyway, I had really gotten to the airport on time, but they changed the time of the flight. basically. And between that and the time of the change in time on the clock, I missed this flight. And so I ended up going back and spending another night with my family.
Factory rebates up to $6,250. Interest rates as low as 0%. 3,000 new Fords, all ready for immediate sale. Celebrate now at your New Mexico Ford dealer during our president.
She was kind of
as we've been telling you all night, another winter weather system is moving into New Mexico, just as today's is leaving.
You know,
and that means more cold temperatures and snow. Our Caleb James is live near Gallup. Tell us what it looks like right now, Caleb.
Various family members.
Ryan, how do
they could bring her back down, because she just, you know, your kid gets a show, kind of big deal. But she was had come out of a farming community in Idaho and had had kind of a hard life, you know, and a big family and everything. And then she had to leave home early and go work in somebody else's house as a maid because her mother had died, and so they kind of farmed out the kids that they could. And she had ended up winning. In high school, she was like valedictorian or whatever. So she got a scholarship and then had gone on and been trained as a teacher, then met my father. And then he was a businessman, so she stopped teaching. And they, you know, raised a family and everything. And then he met somebody else, you know, the old American, all-American success story. Ended up moving on, and so she was kind of the anchor of the family. But she's just a really nice person, and put other people before herself, you know, and is a kind of person who had your back. So I think it was, you know, fully appropriate that we would go and honor her. And I don't know, you know, you got to, it seems like the society that we're in these days, we don't like to take time for anything. But I think it is important, you know, to recognize the people in your life that have helped you or that have been, you know, there for you. So that's where I was. And, you know, I guess one of the things I learned is I need some more shows in my back pocket. So if I miss a day, then we can put on a show that I've never done before. But for some reason, doing a show, maybe it's my incompetence, but for me, doing a show, a 2-hour show takes like 10 hours, typing stuff up or getting the, you know, recording it. And then, you know, you got to cut it, you got to do introductions, and you got to, you know, say during the show, this is not live kind of a thing. And so it challenges every fiber of my being, but I am going to put a few shows in the old can there. All right, so I hope you miss me. I'm looking at so one of the things that happened is I was in St. George, and I mean, St. George, if you've never been there, St. George, Southern Utah, you gotta go. It's just absolutely spectacular. It's very close to Zion Park, and Zion Park is this like kind of cathedral that you go through. It's like got these kind of a nature cathedral. You just got a lot of tall rock, brightly colored red, beautiful rock colorations out there, and you got to go out and check it out. And the town of St. George has got probably more bike trails and nature walks of any place that I've ever seen. Now, kind of like Las Cruces, it's probably similar in size to us, but it is got a lot of retirees there, so it's not a super dynamic, you know, if you have a lot of retirees in your town, then it puts a certain quality, it stabilizes the economy to a certain extent. You got a lot of people who are living on a fixed income, could be larger, could be smaller, but it's not as, you don't get the feeling like it's an up and coming city that's going to take the world over. You know, there's a lot of small businesses, but I don't know of any big businesses there. But you go through this, to get to Vegas, you have to go through something called the Virgin River Gorge, which is supposedly the most expensive stretch of highway ever put together at the time it was done. And somebody told me it was 25 years of blasting, that all they had was dynamite to blast, you know, chunks of rock out of the way and so that they could lay down a highway. And I don't know if it took 25 years. That doesn't make any sense to me. It's only a couple miles long, but it's really beautiful. And then you've got this long stretch of desert between this Virgin River Gorge going out of Utah. You cross into Arizona for a little while, and then you're on the outskirts of Vegas, which is where I grew up. But it's cool. It would be well worth your, if you're a kind of person that likes the desert, but, you know, you like hiking and climbing and stuff, there's an unbelievable number of areas to hike and climb and ride your bike. They have, you know, off-road bike trails and such. So it's kind of a, I don't know, it's just kind of a cool place. But anyway, I woke up. There was also a problem in the airlines, and they had, I think, shut down Dallas for a little while. When I woke up in the morning, though, yesterday, it was snowing, and it was a little sprinkling, you know, by the, and then I closed my eyes and woke up again. It was coming down really hard, flakes the size of a cornflake, you know, so I didn't know if I was going to get snowed in there. So that was, her house is up on a hill, so you kind of look down and watch people kind of skidding off the road, but they're like us, you know, we don't have a lot of experience driving in the snow or in the ice or whatever. So, but it's, I think it's 1,000-mile drive from here. I would almost encourage you, if you were going to go in that direction, to take a plane to Vegas, spend your time in Vegas, and then take a couple of days maybe out in St. George and check it out and see if it's a place you'd like to go back to. But there's, you know, there's another thing that reminds me of here too. There are a lot of dinosaur remains out there, prints and fossils and such. And there's this place called Gooseberry Flats that we used to drive to that is got more. I mean, I'm not an expert, of course, on petrified wood, but it's just, once you learn what it looks like, you learn to see it on the ground. It is just everywhere. You could bring back a ton of it. You could just spend all day like shoveling it in the back of your truck. It's just incredible amount of petrified wood out there. And it, you know, it's not too far from, I guess, not too far from the Grand Canyon. So anyway, I was good to go see my family, and I kind of, one of those situations where you kind of make up your mind, I'm going to do this more often. You know, what do you have besides your family, et cetera, et cetera. All right. So 523-1450 to call in. I've got Bob Ehrlich. He's coming in, in the next hour to talk a little bit about weather. There is crazy stuff happening in the weather. There's crazy stuff happening on the internet. They are on the verge of radically changing the internet, which is probably, if it passes, going, and they say it's just a rubber stamp at this point, it's going to slow down the internet, and it's going to change the pay, how things are paid for. In other words, it's not, what they want to do is they want to keep companies who spend a lot from getting a lot of what they call bandwidth. So how I feel about it, I'm totally opposed to it. I mean, the internet has been the most gigantic engine of revenue for the last 20, 30 years. Can you imagine our economy without the internet now? It's another change. And I was thinking this morning, the most significant thing that you could say about this administration is it's interested in control. It's interested in controlling the actions of people and even the thoughts. But, you know, with the healthcare law and this thing with the internet and a lot of other things, they've taken a lot of acres out of circulation for the development of oil revenue and stuff. Just very control oriented. Here is America, Horse with No Name, Kelly O'Connell, 523-1450 at 619, and we'll be right back on the 24th of February. Good to be back, folks. This is live, by the way. And but just by the way, America was a band that formed in England. Three expatriate kids who were other dads were in the military, and then they named themselves America, and they had a lot of big hits, as you know.
I was looking at all the life. There were plants and birds and rocks and things. There were sand and hills and reefs. The first thing I met was a bar with a buzz and the sky with no clouds. The heat was hot and the ground was dry, but the air was full of sound.
Factory rebates up to $6,250. Interest rates as low as 0%. 3,000 new Fords, all ready for immediate sale.
Well, as we've been telling you all night, another winter weather system is moving into New Mexico just as today's is leaving. And that means more cold temperatures and snow. Our Caleb James is live near Gallup to tell us what it looks like right now, Caleb.
Kelly here. Good morning, 6:24, and I've got some weather for you. And it is talking about the storms going through the state. And we'll check this out in just a second.
Factory rebates up to $6,250. Interest rates as low as 0%. 3,000 new Fords, all ready for immediate.
Well, as we've been telling you all night, another winter weather system is moving into New Mexico just as today's is leaving. And that means more cold temperatures and snow. Our Caleb James is live near Gallup to tell us what it looks like right now, Caleb.
Yeah, Ryan, how do you explain how quickly this snow has started coming down? Well, the shoulder along I-40 here really tells our snow story in Gallup tonight, because just about 15, 20 minutes ago, this entire stretch of shoulder along I-40 was just dry as anything. I mean, there was no accumulation whatsoever. We're already getting snow sticking on the ground here on the side of I-40. And you know, of course, when it sticks, it means more is going to stick. Road conditions are going to get more treacherous. And, of course, we don't expect the snow to stop. We also don't expect the temperatures here in Gallup overnight to get any higher. So that combination means we're going to see more snow on the ground overnight into tomorrow morning. Drivers beware. Give yourself extra time in the morning. Give yourself extra time tonight. Be careful about how fast you're going on these roads. We've seen a little bit of police activity on I-40 itself here in the past few minutes. Some police officers pulling some folks over for sort of jetting down this on-ramp onto I-40 from the Miyamura overpass. So, of course, be careful out here. And like I
said, well, anyway, this he was going on. It's kind of boring. I don't want to bore you, but it's kind of going on to talk about the weather in the state. The weather nationally is we're setting records. We're setting records nationally for cold. You're probably aware of that, but I don't know. It's just kind of strange to me that the drip, drip, drip of global warming is going on in the background because I just find it, I mean, I've asked this 100 times, but at what point in setting all these records are we going to say to ourselves, maybe global warming is a theory that's not correct? I mean, you don't have to politicize it. It doesn't have to be part of a explanation
of
the political process.
I thought you were the queen
of
the pre-treat.
I'm kind of curious, what would it take what weather event would it take for people, for the vast majority of people to say, you know what, I don't believe this.
Here's what a lot of Weather Channel employees saw on their cars early.
Anyway, here is a little bit nationally from weather.com.
Here's what a lot of Weather Channel employees saw on their cars early on Tuesday morning. Okay, so this was about 6:30 or so. There was kind of a layer of ice from some freezing rain, and it was sleeting, and then that eventually changed over to some snow by about 7, 8 o'clock in the morning. Now, this is all from Winter Storm Quantum. This has been a storm that's dropped really just a huge variety of stuff, ranging from snow to sleet to freezing rain and even rain as you get farther toward the south. And we've got one more day left with this storm. It's going to affect parts of the mid-Atlantic and the deep south still as well. Now, as we progress through the day in Atlanta, things change over to just some plain old rain, but could have some icing problems, especially as you get farther toward the east. We're talking places like Myrtle Beach and Wilmington, maybe even Florence, and even out toward Cape Hatteras. So that's where the main icing problem is. Charlotte, Raleigh, you may see a little bit of snow out of this as well.
And we've got some other events going on, some of which were
not all toothbrushes
to
are created equal.
I believe the coldest month in the history of Detroit. And anybody who knows anything about Detroit realizes that Detroit is already a cold area to begin with. So I don't know. I'd hate to live in Detroit, to be totally honest. If I can find a little clip for you here. Here we go. I got something on the coldest month on record. But, I mean, it's not just Detroit, of course. I mean, I think it was Michigan just the other day, negative 28. Anyway, Detroit, February 2015 could be one for the record books. And this is CBS Detroit. In terms of cold weather, AccuWeather says the coldest month ever was January 77 with an average temperature of just under 13 degrees. And it looks like, it looks like it's going to be broken. So there's cold weather events that are happening all over now. My family tells me that Alaska has been unseasonably warm, and you could argue, well, this vortex has brought this thing down, polar vortex. But I just I don't see anything happening, but cold records for the last few years. And I'm wondering, as I had mentioned to you before, is it possible we're entering a cooling period? And I think that some people are saying that it is. We are in a cooling period. Some scientists are saying that. All right, here's a little bit of Russell Peters. Why don't I do any Arab jokes? Well, look, I'm going to listen to or play for you this week. Russell Peters, he is a Canadian Indian, continental Indian. He's very funny. And here's a little clip from him in honor of all the Muslim activity going on across the world.
Oh, man. Any Arabs in the house tonight? Arabs in the house? All right, thank you. Good night. All right. What kind of Arab are you? Oh, good. Yeah, you're United. Good. So I heard. I don't know if you answered me in Arabic or if you said the country just now. One at a time there, fellas. What are you? What's what? Libya. Libya, Lebanon, any other L countries? Oh, good, yeah. Well, just for the record, you're a stone throw away from each other. Listen, I am... just for the record, my Arab friends, I don't do any Arab jokes in my act. It's not that I don't think you're funny. I just, you know, I don't know. I don't want to die.
Hey, it's Kelly. Who's this?
Kelly, it's Kathy. Maybe I watched too many movies on this changing of the weather, but it was my understanding that as the heat increases and the polarized caps melt, the fresh water going in to the ocean, makes the warm flow of water, the current that warms our continents, sink lower and brings on the cold. And that's how Snowball Earth happened, you know, how many millions of years ago, where the planet was covered with snow, was from the extreme warming and melting, and then the cold came after. You don't believe that?
Well, I mean, you do recall that originally it was just global warming, right? We're going to get hotter and hotter and hotter. That was like, 10 years ago, whatever? Right? You do remember that, right? There's a transition.
Well, that it's going to get, the planet's weather has gone back and forth for millions of years.
Hey, let's bring this on the air. I think it would be interesting. People would react to it.
Yeah, just because it's me, I'm not going on the air anymore. I am tired of getting trashed.
Come on. Nobody trashes you on this show.
Oh, go. Yes, they do, but it's okay.
Come on. Get real here. But I know what you're saying. There are increasingly sophisticated, it seems to me that no matter what happens, they can work it into their model, you know?
That might be true. But, you know, the climate on the planet is constantly changing, going through cycling from warm to cold, you know, the mini ice age that happened back in the 1800s and the younger Dryas period 12,000 years ago. There's lots of climate change that went on from cold to hot. So, you know, I don't know if we're affecting it with our – hello?
Well, I mean, yeah, that's the whole question is to – are we – I was talking to my sister over the weekend, and she's very progressive, and – she's like, are you telling me that nothing we're doing is affecting the climate? And I said, I don't know. I mean, but here, we're almost on. Hold on a second. Hey, it's Kelly here. And I do have Kathy. And Kathy was telling me off the air that it is part of a bigger cycle that what were you saying about the polar ice caps melting and then...
I was thinking, maybe I watched too many movies. Most of us saw The Day After Tomorrow, where the melting of the polar ice caps. This was, it's a theory. I don't know if it's ever happened, not in our lifetime or the last 12,000 years, but the ice caps melt. It changes the desalinization level of the ocean. The warm current that stays near the top, the Gulf Stream, sinks. That causes no warming to occur, and it gets colder and colder, bringing more snow. And, you know, that's happening. You know, I don't have a degree in that, so I don't know. Maybe somebody can call that is really smart about it. But it was my understanding that the heating causes the cooling.
Well, I mean, and then I was saying, it seems to me, and I got Bob Enlick coming on in a – I guess he's going to come on – in the next hour, but when I recall, Kathy, that when they used to just say the Earth is heating up and it's getting hotter and hotter, and that was the basic thing, is like we're cooking ourselves, all of this carbon out there is raising the temperature, there's going to be nowhere to hide, the polar caps are going to melt, the cities are going to get flooded, people are going to get baked to death, you know, and so that was easy to follow and that was easy to understand. And I think when it didn't happen as soon as they were predicting, they changed gears. Now, maybe the science improved, and like you're saying, it became more sophisticated, and now we understand better. The problem that I have with the polar ice caps melting and putting all the fresh water and causing all the more clouds and all more snow and everything is that there was a couple of reports that came out that said that the polar the ice caps on the ends of the earth are thicker than they've ever been. I don't know. I mean, like you say, I don't have a degree in this stuff.
Yeah, and I don't know how much 100 years of industrialized society can change the climate. I'm not quite sure about that. But the climate itself, over the billions of years that we've been here, has constantly gone back and forth. The Earth cycles into heat and cold at different times. And, you know, it's over a great period of time. I don't think it's anything we're going to see in our lifetime. And I don't know how much we're affecting it with industrialized society. But the Earth constantly cycles from cold to hot.
So, in your opinion, is the weather getting more severe, and is that caused by humans?
It seems to be. It seems to be getting more severe. I can't remember ever hearing about Category 5 hurricanes in such frequency as we've seen in the last 10 years. I don't know.
Folks, anybody
like
want to help?
I don't have a degree in it, so I'm not sure, but it seems that from my point of view, it seems like the weather is severe. And yet even these storms that are happening back east right now, they're setting records, but they're not top storms. They're not breaking all the records. They're right up there in the top 5 or 10 storms of the century, but there have been worse.
But, I mean, for instance, in Boston, they say they've never had more snow.
At one time, I heard the storm that hit Boston, and they've been hit by 3 or 4 now, that there have been more severe storms than that in the past 100 years.
You may, Kathy, feel like the Deflategate storm that hit Boston is bigger than anything you've seen. Yeah. Tom Brady, et cetera.
Yeah, boy, that cold really takes down those the pressure in those footballs. That's amazing.
Yeah, and also winning the Super Bowl seems to deflate the critics. All right, was there anything else? Any? Do you have any forecasts for the demise of? Did you Kathy? You know, in the left, in the progressive movement, there, you know how in the conservative Christians, they talk about the apocalypse and the end of the world. The left does the same thing, but they don't do it in religious terms. Have you noticed that? Have you noticed this? There's something about the end of the world that kind of is in exciting to people.
Yes, and that's been going on for, at least 10,000 years in our societies?
Quite possibly.
The end of the world is coming, and everybody keeps getting ready for it. I think we just ought to continue on and see how things go.
Yeah, that sounds like a good plan. Anything else?
No, that's it.
Thanks a lot. Have a great day. Thanks for the call. All right, folks, 6:40, and we'll take a little bit of weather here, but first a little more America. Horse with No Name. It's All the Desert I Saw kind of inspired this. Kelly O'Connell will be right back.
I've been through the desert on a horse with no name. It felt good to be out of the rain. In the desert, you can't remember your name.
It is Kelly here, 6:43. Just looking for temperature here for you, which is, hold on 1 second. I was surprised when I came back and it was so cold. I thought it was warm when I left, but 26 degrees right now. So a little bit nippy out there. And okay, so here is one more. I'm going to get into some other stuff before the guest comes, but here is one more clip on possible record-breaking cold weather.
We do have record lows that are set not only here into New York, but through a big chunk of the Northeast. There's over 30 million people that are under some sort of winter weather advisory. So here's a look at those temperatures. Harrisburg, PA could break a big record, 1889
we'll have to get some memories from Roker from that time period, too. Just kidding, Roker. You know I love you. But we're a few degrees away from that. Our temperatures, by the way, they bottom out just before sunrise. So we do still have time for those temperatures to drop. Here's a look at our temperatures right now. Bangor to Buffalo, we are well below zero. And down into D.C., only 16 degrees. Our temperatures today will be anywhere from 15 to 20 degrees below average across the entire Northeast.
Now, how do you sell global warming, of course, during this kind of a thing? But on the other hand, as Kathy says, there's a more sophisticated story out there that supposedly puts in puts everything into context. Okay, I've got some New Mexico news for you. House committee clears bill giving New Mexico oil and gas power. All right, so they put a bill into to for a vote that would local governments, you know, local regional governments in the state from limiting oil and gas producers. And this is from Nate Gentry of Albuquerque, Republican, and he says it's important that we pass this because if not, there could be counties that would completely ban oil or gas, and that would be a disaster for the state's revenues and also the economy. New Mexico lawmakers are considering drone legislation and a gambling compact, and they don't apparently know how to regulate drones. A New Mexico legislative panel is going to be debating drone laws, and it would limit the use of drones by law enforcement without a warrant. New Mexico Sheriff's Association Executive Director Jack Levick says sheriffs have mixed reactions to this law. And all right, so there was a story that talked about this lady who was kind of saw a light outside of her window and went over, and there was a drone looking into her house, which is a very weird, you know, I mean, it could be, you could have drones flying around taking naked pictures of naked women, you know, I mean, all right. So New Mexico lawmakers trying to fill a highway funding gap. And it says, and this is KRQE News. There are tens of thousands of miles of pavement crisscrossing the state that are in worse condition than previously thought. And Tom Church, head of the state's transportation department, explained the findings of a recent state-of-the-art road assessment during a legislative committee. 5,800 miles of New Mexico roads need anywhere from minor rehabilitation to total reconstruction. And he says, quote, that's all the way from a pothole to structural integrity. And so we're looking for various ways to pay for this, but apparently it's a pretty big deal. And, you know, I can assure you, if you're a trucker, it's the kind of thing that would be on your mind. Whereas, you know, most people are just kind of looking around for getting from point A to B in their local community. All right, let's take a, let's take another break here. Kelly O'Connell, 6:48, and hope you're having a good day. 26 degrees outside, a little bit cold. Might want to grab a coat on the way out. 6:49 on the button. KOBE 523-1450 to call in. We'll be right back.
I'll do a joke about an Arab, and they'll look like they're laughing. But it's not the same laugh you're doing. Like, I'll do a joke about an Arab, and you guys will be like, ah, ha, 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 and you look at the Arab guy, and you're like, ha, 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 ha. Oh, no, I get this funny joke. Ha, 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 ha. No, no, it's a funny. It's funny. I get it. Don't worry. I will talk to him after. Doesn't it feel like every time you turn on the news nowadays, some new country is fucking with an Arab country? Every time you turn on the news.
It's Kelly here. Good morning to you. It is 6:51.
Have you seen this?
And you're listening to KOVE. We've got a little bit of local news. Dona, and a county sheriff agent fleet is a crisis. Half of DASA vehicles have more than 100,000 miles on them.
What's it like?
And it's what they're calling the Dalmatian fleet because they're losing paint. The paint is peeling off, and so they've got dark and light spots on there. And part of that problem there is a bad paint job to begin with, as well as hour upon hour of engine time log in New Mexico's beating sun and other elements. This is from the Sun News, of course. And Kiki B. Hill, Enrique Kiki B. Hill, who just recently took office, called it a crisis. He wrung his hands and looked out the window in despair, talking about it. So we need to either, obviously we've got to replace it, but where does the money come from? Now, if the county came up and said we need to spend money on this fleet of vehicles, I think people would understand, but you know, what they're spending money for, like this, what is it this fixation on having rapid, right, or not there, rapid transit, but you know, public transportation. There's certain things that are just in the minds of progressives, like you know, like
Lady Gaga stole the show on
chocolate and free tickets to the movie theater for little kids, you know, public transportation. It's like there's this, this list of things that happen in paradise that the progressive left is working on. You know, got to have public transportation, even if it goes to places where only one person would ride 20 buses all day long. They would still, you know, it would still be a life and death issue to them. But anyway, along these this fleet, they said that they're so old that when they get into a high speed pursuit, they can shear off a drive shaft or rear axle, according to Kiki. And 23%, one out of four, have a mileage of 150,000 or more. So the union is looking to get them replaced. Why don't you just roll back the odometer like they do everywhere else? But Kiki is pulling patrol-capable vehicles from sworn personnel. We got a phone call here. Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Morning, Kelly Ross. Good to have you back.
Hey, thanks a lot, man. I really appreciate it. What's on your mind?
Hey, so, you know, I don't understand. If the county was $24 million over budget last year.
The awards are in the books, and the best moments from last night's show are right here. The fun started.
I'm hearing something else.
Hold on a second. Oh, is there something else playing?
Call your mom. Call
yeah,
your
some, like an interview or something.
Well, I'm not on this planet here, but let me just start turning
don't
stuff
text
off here. Because what happens
phone
is, yeah, I've got the, sorry about that. I put up the Oscars to try to read the Oscars. What happens sometimes when people call in, I'll have a clip that I'm getting ready, and I don't realize it because I can't hear it, but it's playing into the ear of the caller. So anyway,
go ahead. So they're $24 million over budget.
Yeah.
You know, they spent more than they took in, and they can't explain where the money went, but yet here's, you know, they weren't taking care of business, and you know, doing things like buying the cars that they needed for the sheriff.
Well, I think it's sad. I mean, you've got this situation where they're trying to replace $100,000 that we're losing because of this law that's going out of effect, and they're going to replace it with $10 or $15 million in taxation. I don't think people really understand to the extent that the far left believes in high tax, high spending, and that it's not even related to the public policy other than spending a lot. I know it sounds crazy to say that, but from having observed it for many years, I have to say that I've watched time and time again in various cities and states in the United States and nationally the extreme importance of taking a high amount of tax and spending a lot. It almost as if that in and of itself will make a better country.
You know, and you were talking about the public transport that they want to build. It's all part of the Agenda 21 deal, and I forget what their specific plan for the county and city is here, but it involves getting people off the farms and into the cities, you know, huddled up into little high-rises and having the entire population in the cities and just big corporations or the state running the farming out in the country. And, of course, the privileged DACAs that, you know, they get to have out there.
Mm-hmm. Agenda 21 is certainly a motivator in the minds of a lot of these people. We're almost out of time, Rob. Was there anything else?
Have a good morning.
Thanks a lot, buddy. All right, folks, we got about a minute here. I'm looking to see, you know, I didn't watch the Oscars. I barely got home last night, but Best Picture, which included The American Sniper in the list, was Birdman. Best Actress, Julianne Moore in Still Alice, Julianne Moore, who brags about being an atheist. Best Actor, Eddie Redmayne in The Theory of Everything. Director, Birdman, Alejandro G. Iñárritu. Did Screenplay, Best Screenplay, Imitation Game, Original Screenplay, Birdman. I don't know. I mean, you know what? Did American Sniper win anything? It would have been nice, you know. Everybody knows that the far left is disconnected from the American mainstream by definition, but it would be nice. It just seems like the Hollywood's it's always been very liberal. It's becoming more openly liberal, which is probably not a good sign for its long-term health. But anyway, America Horse with No Name, and we'll take you out with that. Kelly O'Connell, 523-1450 to call in, and we'll be back with an expert on the weather. We can talk about all this weather-related stuff.
After 2 days in the desert sun, my skin began to turn red. And after 3 days in the desert sun, I was looking at a riverbed. And the story it told of a river that flowed made me sad to think it was dead. You see, I've been through the desert on a horse with no name.
What's up, man? Classic, huh? Well, we did get a call from Kathy today talking about, what's that? I got a call from Kathy today talking about whether the cold would be proof of global warming. Is proof of global warming or proof of global warming?
Get Congratulations.
Gotta.
There's a lot of these guys are funny, but they, some of them have bad words all the time. Some of them, they just occasionally slip a bad word in. Yeah. Oh. Yeah. Well, I wish they did that on the air because I've occasionally, I don't have people calling up cursing, but I occasionally have,
it's Kelly here, and appreciate you calling in 706. I've got a resident weather guy, Bob Endlich. He is here. We're going to talk about a little bit of this global warming stuff and current weather. Is it real? Is it hoax? Is it hype? We'll talk about that in just a minute. I want to get you some headlines, but I just want to let you know, and I don't really talk about my private life. Maybe I should do so more on the show. Maybe that would be interesting to people. But my mom passed away a few months ago, and my family had a little memorial where she had lived in St. George, Utah. And so we went there, and I ended up missing the plane to get out yesterday. But anyway, I just to put it on the record, my mom was really kind of a neat person and was old school, the kind of person that had your back, cared about her family and everything. And she didn't want anybody to show, make a big deal out of her. She was very shy. But, so she, when she put it in her will, she didn't want a funeral or anything like that. But, you know, I mean, there's a reason that they have funerals and there's a reason that they have memorials and stuff, is that it is important to recognize people. And in the world that we're living in, everything is so fast paced and we're caught up in the next thing and the human element gets left behind. And I think it is really worthwhile to take time and, ponder and communicate what people have done to help you in the past and what kind of people they were. And, my mom was just a heck of a person. I don't know how else to say it. You know, she went through a lot in her life, had suffered a lot, very impoverished childhood and everything. And then my parents broke up, and that was very painful to her as well. But family was everything to her. And you just don't really meet a lot of people like that anymore. All right. So That's where I was yesterday, and it also snowed like crazy in St. George, Utah, which is not typical for that neck of the woods. But if you ever get a chance to go there, very colorful, and it's a beautiful place to take in the scenery and Zion National Park and such. I would highly recommend you go there. All right, let me just get a few headlines out of the way here. Future of the internet is at stake. These web rules are coming out from the FCC, and they say it's going to change everything. It's going to slow everything down, and it's going to make sure that people with more money don't dominate the internet, supposedly. It's going to be a European-style internet, which can't be good for business, from what I understand. All right, secret prison surveys used to predict future crimes. ISIS abducts 90 Syrian Christians, and you can bet they're not going to feel any safer. I'm sure they're going to end up killing him, beheading him, or whatever. Obama is lowering the bar for Iranian nuke deal and allows them to get a bomb in the future in a phased plan. Now, I read that. I thought I was almost losing my mind there. Al Sharpton has caught on tape saying it's all about the money. He just settled a $1 billion lawsuit against a company that was supposedly racist. Jeb Bush is not polling well. Scott Walker is polling high, but Scott Walker doesn't believe in evolution. He doesn't have a college degree, and he doesn't necessarily believe that the president is a Muslim. We could do a whole show on that. But let me just say this, that I just read an article by Byron York, and which says, more and more people don't understand what it is that Obama believes. Is he a Christian? Is he a Muslim? Is he an atheist? As time has gone by since he's been in office, more and more people believe or don't know what to believe about what the president believes. They don't know what religion he's in. They don't know what he practices. The fact that the president has only been to church 18 times since he's gone into office doesn't help anything either. So what do you believe? But here's another. You know, ISIS is somewhere between extremely violent and crazy and also illiterate and stupid. ISIS is now vowing to take over Rome and, quote, throw homosexuals off your leaning tower of pizza, P-I-Z-Z-A. We're going to throw gay people off the leaning tower of pizza. So, all right. And, we've got Bob Endlich here, and Bob is, he has worked in the military for quite a while as a weather guy and was involved in, B-52s or something like that.
Guilty as charged.
All right. Now, Bob, has been on the show before. Good morning, Bob. And, it just so happened to have stirred up the dust a little bit on global warming today. So I'm just wondering, I don't know what you had for the show this morning, but Kathy called in and she said, of course, it's getting colder. That's related to global warming.
Well, that's just is a trace gas, carbon dioxide, and its concentration is increasing. There's no doubt about that. It is very likely related to our use of fossil fuels. But by far, the largest greenhouse gas is water vapor. If water vapor on a warm day in New Mexico in the monsoon season is 4% by volume or 40,000 parts per million. And so if you just look at a parts per million basis, in the right now, we are about 400 parts per million carbon dioxide. It was about 300 parts per million carbon dioxide. So if you look at it on a parts per million basis in the summertime, when the greenhouse effect is the most dramatic, our greenhouse potential has changed from 40,300, 40,400. You can't see that in the normal measurements that we have. We take a surface observation perhaps every hour. We take upper air balloon measurements every 12 hours, and it'll change by a factor of two quite frequently when we get it'll rain. We'll have a thunderstorm, afternoon thunderstorm, and then some drier air will come in, and it'll be dry for a couple of days, and then more moist. So the change
is it too small to even measure it, to register in your mind in terms of the effect on the climate?
Well, I will turn the question around. If the global warming potential is so dramatic, where is it in the data? I can't find it in the data. I mean, we have theories that predict it.
Well, people are going to say to you, Bob, it's everywhere around you. Open your eyes. You know, you can see the effects. That's what a lot of these people will say.
Well, the way I'm a scientist, I've been a scientist for over 50 years, and the way that we do things are we write things down. So we have weather records. So we have weather records in New Mexico for over 100 years. And if there was a significant global warming ongoing, it would be either in the surface temperatures or in the measurements from the weather balloon data. And I can't see it in the data. I will certainly accept a call from someone who says they can see it.
523-1450.
This
Kathy,
note,
Kathy, call back.
Yeah. But this notion is that anything is global warming. If it's warmer than average, it's global warming. If we have this cold snap, it's colder than it's been in a long while, especially in the east and the northeast. That's global warming. In order for someone to make a scientific statement, it needs to be a statement that is falsifiable. That is science.
Yeah. And we do have a call here. Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
This is Aaron Kelly.
Hey, Aaron, good morning to you, and what's going on?
This is settled science, man. It's been settled.
It's settled science, Bob.
Okay, well, in one way...
Aaron's laughing. I don't think he believes that it's settled.
Well, you know, you have these things that say the science is settled. You know, that's just so much hogwash. I'll give you an example. 50 years ago, my dad was hospitalized for ulcers, and they gave him an antacid. They gave him Mylanta because everyone knew, I mean, the consensus and the science was settled, was that the cause of ulcers was spicy food and stomach upset. Now, 5 years ago, my sister was hospitalized with ulcers, and they gave her some antibiotics against Helicobacter pylori, the bacterium. So this notion that science is settled is just preposterous. And I could go.
Oh, I agree.
You know, we have.
I was taught just recently at NMSU that science is never settled.
Well, that's absolutely.
We're always learning new things and uncovering new information, and so science is one big giant hypothesis for a lot of it.
Well,
so yeah, I agree with you totally.
You bring about a good point, and the good point is that to do science, what you do is you guess at some sort of a hypothesis, and the hypothesis is that the addition of carbon dioxide to the air is causing catastrophic warming, and then try to find it in the data. Well, one way that we can test that is look at the upper air data, because supposedly this is greenhouse warming, and the greenhouses, the greenhouse gases are in what we call the lower troposphere, from roughly like 5,000 feet above the surface to 25 or 30,000 feet above the surface. Well, we can measure that with weather balloons, and we can measure it with satellites. And for 18 years and 3 months, there has been no net warming. There's been warming and cooling when we have El Nino and La Nina, but
Aaron,
so
put
how
that,
gonna,
put
how
that in your pipe
the,
and smoke it, Aaron.
The powers that be to quit using this 97% of all scientists nonsense.
Well, you bring out a good point, because it is nonsense. That is a flawed survey. I've looked it up, and it's when we're talking about science, it's about measurements. It's not about surveys. It's not about what people say. It's what the data says. That's why we write things down. That's why we have weather records. That's why we have Form 10s. That's why we have that data collected at the National Climate Data Center. And so I don't take anything of what people say. I go look at the data.
Do good point. I wish most Americans would do that, but seems like right now most of the world just goes with what Obama says.
Well,
that old science.
That's another good point, and that is that that there is terrible mathematical and scientific literacy within the population as a whole. I think there's a study out there that says something like 15% of kids in high school are literate in science. Time since I've been in high school. Do you think that gets better as people get older with only 15%? And it's a similar percentage are math, science, and engineering graduates from college.
Well, you're talking to somebody that went back to nursing school at the age of 50. So I've learned a lot of science in the last 3 years.
Aaron, how do you look?
That's a good thing.
Aaron, how do you look in fishnets?
How do I what?
How do you look in fishnet hose? I'm just curious.
Oh, you know, I'll tell you what, man. I look pretty good.
Okay. That's a matter of opinion, certainly. Aaron, anything else?
No, man, that's settled opinion there.
Oh, okay. I got you. Thanks a lot, man. Have a great day. Thanks for the good call. All right, folks. I'm going to take you here to the next break. We got with America Ventura Highway. Got Bob Endlich. And any weather questions that you have, bring them on. If you're something you want to explain. In the meantime, we're going to be talking about global warming. Global warming is a commonly cited weather phenomenon as anything that you'll find out there. And yet, is it accurate? Is it true? Is it happening? Kelly O'Connell, 523-1450. It's 720. Here's a little America Ventura Highway. We will be right back.
Yeah, here we go. 1, 2, D, 4. Chewing on a piece of grass, walking down the road. Tell me how long you gonna stay here, Joe. Some people say this town don't look good in snow. You don't care, I know.
It's Kelly here. Good morning to you. I've got Bob Endlich here. We're talking about global warming. Here's a few more headlines before we get back into global warming. Alaska becomes third state to go to pot. And my family was talking about people that they knew that were going to start growing pot up there. Another report, antibiotics causing children to have allergic reactions to fruits and vegetables. Something's happening in the food. Which is making life more difficult for kids. We have more autistic kids out there for some reason. Newsmax box on Bill Clinton. I really like what he does. Virginia secretary apologizes for inflating military record. There's a lot of people lying on their resumes out there, and it's coming up more and more as the internet becomes more powerful. And he lied about serving in the special forces. And Obamacare, the same guy that made the statements about how stupid Americans were and how they had to be lied to get Obamacare passed. That same guy, he inflated his billing. And so now the IRS may be going after him. Anyway, we got Bob Endlich here. Now, Bob, we're talking about what would be proof in your mind of global warming or climate change. By the way, could you define for people, as far as you understand, what is global warming? What is climate change, and what would be the difference between the two? Because people used to only talk about global warming.
Okay. There are naturally occurring changes in the climate, which happen all the time. One of the ones that people in New Mexico are specifically attuned to is El Nino and La Nina. El Nino is a phenomenon that occurs when the warm water that accumulates in the western Pacific comes all the way over to the Eastern Pacific. So it's right off Central and South America. And when we have warm water there, that tends to increase the temperature globally, and it tends to increase the precipitation in the Mountain West. So El Nino years are good years in terms of filling up the reservoirs. So that occurs maybe once every 3 to 5 to 10 years. The last El Nino we had in New Mexico, well, in the western U.S., was in 2010. And one that a lot of people might remember is back in the summer, the winter of 97-98, from Christmas until February. The mountains here, the Oregon Mountains, were white for several months. That was a result of a very strong El Nino that spread a lot of precipitation in the form of snow. So we have, when there's an El Nino, it almost always is followed by a La Nina pattern. And La Nina pattern is colder and drier. So frequently we'll go into drought if there's a remarkable El Nino. So those are 2, 3, 5, 10-year cycles. We also have a 60-year cycle. And right now, we are in overall a drought period. Back in the 1950s, 60 years ago, there was a drought period. And in between, in the late 20th century, we had immense amounts of rainfall in the western U.S.
Well, here's one of my problems with global warming, and this is just a general problem that I have that is not really related to politics. What I don't like about global warming is everything is then kind of folded into the theory, and it takes away any nuance, any deeper understanding of what weather is and what causes it, the climate and everything. If everything is related to global warming, you don't have to know anything to be a weather expert.
And very frequently people are not weather experts. As a matter of fact, I would say that Al Gore and the president and his secretary of state are remarkably unscientific in their statements.
What are some mistakes that you hear people regularly make? You hear the topic global warming come up or climate change, and your ears perk up because you're a trained scientist in weather. What are some of the most basic mistakes you hear people making?
Well, I just tried to explain that we have this El Nino La Nina cycle. We also have the 60-year cycle. There's also a 1,000-year cycle that's demonstrated in not our weather records, but in our what we call proxy data. So there are things that occur in the natural world that depend on temperature. And we get the ice core data, and the ice core data has ice that was formed from snow, and that snow occurred at different temperatures. Well, water becomes ice. So it's H2O. Well, the oxygens have, you go back to your chemistry, we have different isotopes. So we have oxygen-16 and oxygen-18. So that oxygen-16 to oxygen-18 ratio is a function of the temperature. So if we get the ice core data out, we can count the annual rings, and from the oxygen-16 to oxygen-18 ratio, we can get what the temperature was when that ice formed. So we have ice records that go back several hundreds of thousands of years, over 100,000 years in Antarctica, in Greenland, and up to 600,000 years in the deepest parts of Antarctica. And those data show these wild fluctuations of temperature. So when we're talking about climate change, well, climate changes all the time. And so the question is, what is the human component and what is the natural component, and how can we tell the difference? So when people are saying, well, climate change must be our fault, well, you can make that statement, but you have to show me and other people who are scientists where that's in the data.
All right. So, I mean, but that's the problem, because what you've got in this, Aaron brings up the consensus. There are a lot of scientists that have signed on to this global warming thing, but what percentage of them, from what you've seen, are actual climatologists?
Now, that's a good question. There's two components of that I'd like to address, Kelly. One is the fact that there is a very definite political component to this, because this all comes out of the United Nations the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, and they don't look at the natural changes of climate. They just assume with all the changes, it's only carbon dioxide that's important. That is false. It's demonstrably false.
That's reductionism, reducing a very complex set of events to one factor.
That's right. And it's just wrong. So they turn themselves into pretzels trying to explain why, for instance, with all the models forecasting this dramatic warming, is it hasn't warmed in over 18 years, Kelly. I mean, the data show that the models are wrong.
All right, so we're talking to Bob Enlich. You could talk to him all day about this stuff. It's very interesting, but got to take a little break here. We're going to come back and find out the second thing that he wanted to point out on this. But, folks, is it possible that we're getting fed a line of, a line from the government or from these politicians that they want more control? They want control of the Internet. They want control of the health. Maybe they want control of all the science, too. I'm going to give you a little more Ventura Highway here, Kelly O'Connell, with Bob Enlich. We'll be right back. It is 733 and 523-1450 to call in on KOB. Today is the 24th of February, 2015.
Days are longer, the nights are stronger than moonshine. You're gonna go, I know.
Because I'll do a joke about an Arab, and they'll look like they're laughing. But it's not the same laugh you're doing. Like, I'll do a joke about an Arab, and you guys will go, ah, ha, 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 ha. And you look at the Arab guy, and be like, ha, 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 ha. Oh, no, I get this funny joke. Ha, 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 ha. No, it's so funny. It's funny. I get it.
Don't worry. I will talk to him after.
Oh, and we're talking off the air with Bob here, but it's Kelly and talking to Bob Enlich. And Bob, you were saying,
well, we were talking about the fact that this might be political, and in my judgment, it is political.
Okay, the global warming, the movement has a political core, right?
Well, absolutely, it does, because it's done by the United Nations, and certainly the United Nations is a political body, an international body. Let's just rewind the clock about a year. You'll know the president was in California. He was golfing at Palm Springs over the President's Day holiday. So let's go back a year ago, and he was before he went to that holiday, he was up in the Central Valley, and the New York Times reported that he said a changing climate means that weather-related disasters like droughts, wildfires, storms, and floods are potentially going to be costlier and going to be harsher. So let's just judge him based on the weather that's occurred in the past year since then. So droughts and rainfall, wildfires, storms, which I take to be tornadoes and hurricanes, and floods. Well, there is a measure of drought applied across the U.S. It's called the Palmer Drought Severity Index. But we've got indications that in 2011, 2012, we had drought in the country, but actually we had a surplus of rainfall last year. So he said drought, and the weather records show that there was more rainfall than average for this last year. And if you look at California, yes, California had been dry, but it made it up in December. And if you look at previous droughts, there was droughts in around 1990, there was droughts in the 50s that I mentioned earlier, and the Dust Bowl year droughts, and this drought, this 2009-2012, was less severe than those previous droughts I mentioned. There is, at nationalclimatedatacenter.noaa.gov, a climate at a glance page. And like I said, I don't take what people say. I look at the data.
But I mean, now we hear that the data has been cooked, and it came out in the newspaper in this article. And it, what I find funny is, in the same way that astronomy is impacted by scientists, the weather, there are people that are keeping track of weather that are doing it as bloggers. And this blogger found out, he went and started checking the recorded data for the actual data in terms of temperature, and found out that a number of important agencies were ticking up the temperature from what was recorded. That just came out, and they said it's proof of that the global warming is the biggest scientific scandal in history. There's a lot of truth to that statement. Let's just back up a little bit. There are two ways that the global temperatures is assessed briefly. One is surface measurements. So the surface measurement for Las Cruces is taken by the university, and it's in back of where the police station is now. Well, if you go back and look at photos before the interstate was built, you'll find that that area was quite rural. And in the meantime, University Boulevard has grown up and got to be a four-lane highway. The interstate's come through. Valley Drive went from being a truck bypass to a huge arterial through the town. And I've made actual measurements. And near where that is, that temperature sensor is near the center of the Las Cruces urban heat islands. It's 4 degrees warmer than it is down at Mesquite or up towards Leesville. So, and I've measured that with not only my car thermometer, but I've got a range quality thermometer that I can plug into my computer to set the time, and then put it on the above the car and measure the temperature at the standard height. And I've measured it. So the Las Cruces urban heat island is 4 degrees warmer than it is out in the rural areas. Well, that's where that urban heat island effect has contaminated the data. And but they're also saying that they are ticking up the temperature to match the urban areas officially.
That's right. I know that. It's called homogenization. So if there was a cooperative observer out by Leesville, and he's measuring the temperature, he and she, the family's measuring it, and what they do is they jack up that temperature to match Las Cruces. And they say, well, look at all this warming. Well, that is, Kelly, it's a fact that only 11% of the data in the surface database for the United States meets the standard. There has been an audit, on-the-ground audit of that. And same amount, 11%, have a 5-degree error. Why are those 5-degree warm error bust temperature in the database? That's a very good question that we don't have an answer for.
Take a break here, folks. I got a little more Russell Peters, why I do not do any Arab jokes. But we're talking to Bob Endlich about how falsification gets put into the climate data and people don't even know it. Are the scientists cynics playing along to get the funding? We'll be back and we're going to talk to Bob Endlich a little bit more about global warming. And you know what, folks, if you look at the data the last few years, you'd probably think it was global cooling, but we'll talk about that when we come back. 741, 742 on the button, 523-1450 to call in KOBE, the Kelly O'Connell Show. We'll be right back.
Because I'll do a joke about an Arab, and they'll look like they're laughing. But it's not the same laugh you're doing. Like, I'll do a joke about an Arab, and you guys will go, ah, ha, 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 ha. And you look at the Arab guy, and be like, ha, 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 ha. Oh, no, I get this funny joke. Ha, 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 ha. No, it's a hummus of hummus. It's funny. I get it.
Don't worry. I will talk to him after.
It's Kelly here, and I'm with Bob Endlich, and we're talking. One of the things I said off the air that Bob really reacted to is I said, you know, I'm thinking if I ask Bob's opinion on astrophysics, he may or may not have an opinion, but how informed would it be? He's trained as a climate scientist. How many of these people that are surveyed who are scientists would have enough knowledge about climatology to even have an opinion, Bob? And we got a phone call here. We'll hold that question. Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this? Hello.
Well, hello. This is Bob.
Bob, how's it going?
Going pretty good, Kelly. Hey, I just wanted to comment on what your weatherman is talking about.
Sure.
Several years ago, I believe it was a show put on by 2020 where they went out and did a survey of a lot of the weather thermometers that we're using for this database testing, and they showed where many of them in the cooler areas had been disabled, and others were moved closer to asphalt runways at airports and things like that to skew the data.
I can talk to that.
Go ahead.
There has been a survey of the weather instruments around the country that go into what's called the U.S. Historical Climate Network, USHCN. Only 11% of those meet the standards of the World Meteorological Organization. And 11% are more than 5 degrees in error. Most of them are more than 2 degrees in error. And the reason for the error is by the National Weather Service's own estimate, because they are too close to things like what you're talking about, asphalt, they're close to exhausts from air conditioners, they're close to walls, they're close to pavement, and things like that. An analysis of those shows this warming. But the question that I ask and that other scientists ask is, why are we including those stations in the database? There is a new, when this came to light, there was a lot of stations that they stopped recording the data. One was the University of Arizona at Tucson was in a parking lot. Oh, come on. It was supposed to be 100 feet from the nearest concrete or metal object. Supposed to be out in a grassy field or something that's representative of the area around it. So those sorts of stories are documented in a pamphlet that you can find if you go to surfacestations.org. It's done by a friend of mine. His name is Anthony Watts. He and another friend of mine from grad school, Roger Pilkey up in Colorado, noticed that there was these crummy numbers that were coming out. Another thing happened about 20 years ago, and that is systematically the UN's organization that does this, systematically they got rid of high altitude and high latitude stations, leaving only the stations that were at lower elevations and lower altitudes. And if you look at the plot of that, the temperatures are showing warming, but it's all artificial.
Hey, Bob, we're running up against a break here. Was there any particular point you wanted to make or ask Bob Endlich?
No, I think he covered everything much better than the information that I had seen. So thank
okay.
you.
Okay, thanks for the call. Have a great day. Folks, I hate to do this, but we've got another call here. You've called the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Good morning, Kelly. This is Jim. How are you doing?
Good, Jim. Let me put you on hold. I got to take a break here for time, but we'll be right back, okay?
Sure enough. Thanks.
Thank you. Folks, I got to take a break, and we'll be right back to finish up on global warming with Bob Endlich.
Weather is downright crazy out there.
Thank you. It's Kelly here, and we've got Jim on the line. And Jim, thanks for your patience. And what's on your mind?
Hi, Kelly. I'm really enthralled by the speaker this morning. You know, I've run into people in the past that have not understood the difference between conduction, absorption, and ambient. And the readings that these people are taking near these walls and or blacktop are going to be much like a heat sink effect. They're going to take the heat in. As we know, color temperature ranges in certain materials and or the actual material structures tend to be absorbent. And therefore, when they re-radiate that heat back out, they're going to get an effect totally different than they would if it were an open area where it's more natural.
Well, that's absolutely true. And what happened in the 1980s was we went from a period of time when people were cheap and computers were expensive to that where that flipped around. And so they automated the temperature sensing. So instead of someone going out and looking in a Stevenson screen, a white louvered box, and writing down the temperatures, they were brought into the station and put on a computer. Well, the trouble with that is that the lead length was a significant factor. So they didn't have enough line length to get the sensors out into a grassy area, a more representative area. So they hooked them up close to where the station was, where they housed the computer. So we sort of backed into this by an imperfect conversion from a manual system to an automated system. And there's another component of that is, and that's the fact that that some of the stations are rural, but the ones that are urban tend to be the airports tend to be urban, and so their data are more readily available.
Well, you know, that's very true, but you know, a lot of times I'm thinking that they do these in areas possibly where they can eliminate what we call the shading coefficient factor. You know, trees and things like that, so they can put them in an area, and even infrared temperature sensors can indicate that the color spectrum that they're looking at is done in an artificial environment.
Well, the whole point that we're trying to do is get a representative measurement, and in order to get a representative measurement, you have to be in an area that's at least 100 feet or 30 meters away from things like poles or asphalt or walls, things that would change the local environment. And most of our USHCN data are contaminated.
Yeah, you know, I had a background in the energy field a little bit there for my own company for 20 years, and we looked at things like shading coefficients. We take infrared sensor readings. We could tell what the different materials would be able to absorb and or emit.
Jim,
these kind of things,
Jim,
they're not looking at some of that stuff.
Jim. Hey, listen, we're running out of time, and this is getting a little bit technical, I think, for the average listener. Was there anything else?
No, Kelly, and I do appreciate it. By the way, I'm sorry I missed you in the church, too. Sorry I missed you.
Oh, well, I appreciate that very much, and thanks for the call. Have a great day. Folks, I want to give Bob enough time to kind of wrap this puppy up, and then I'm going to be playing a little live piano at the end of the show. But, Bob, let's just throw out a few things here today. Record low temperatures in the last few years. They're commonplace. There's articles up here on the internet, and I think one of them is by your buddy, Anthony Watts. New study shows half of the global warming in the USA is artificial. We've got a lot of things that would seem to suggest to the open-minded person that global warming may not be playing out as it's claimed. What's the average person to do?
That's a very difficult question to answer. What I would say is be very cautious and pay attention to the numbers. The satellite numbers are the best. And the satellite numbers show that there's been no warming in over 18 years. So this notion that we are causing catastrophic warming and it is greenhouse warming is falsified by the data. So there is no need for alarm, but the average media person just parrots the party line that comes out of the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, and that is parroted by things like the Washington Post, New York Times, and catastrophic warming is just not happening.
Another level of this problem, we've got some people who work in the sciences, trained in the sciences, who don't have any training whatsoever in weather. They're stepping up and saying, I'm a scientist, I believe in global warming.
Well,
shameful.
It is shameful, and the recourse needs to be to the data. But the trouble is that many of the people in the media are not scientifically or numerically oriented. They don't have the scientific background. Supposedly, they're supposed to get that with a college degree, but they just miss out on the real hard courses. That's what it is. It's a hard science.
These guys are hobbyists at best, and it would be like going to an engineer and asking him about a stress fracture that you got in your leg. It's absurd.
Well, it is absolutely absurd. And so the data show that there is no catastrophic warming ongoing. There's nothing beyond the natural variability of the climate.
Thanks for coming in, Bob, and let's get you in again soon. We're just scratching the surface of this puppy. We've got a call. You got 5 seconds. Go ahead.
Hey, if we just get rid of the UN, we could lower the Earth's temperature by at least a half a degree.
Thanks a lot. Have a great day. Folks, I'll take you out with some Elton John. Have a great day. Ciao.
Has hit a truck on railroad tracks northwest of Los Angeles. KNX helicopter reporter Jeff Waugh is in the air above the accident site.
Four of these cars are derailed and in various positions around the track right here. On the engine itself, it looks askew.
Now, some of those derailed cars are resting on their side. Initial reports say at least 30 people have been hurt. No fatalities have been confirmed at this point. At least one veterans group is coming to the defense of the Secretary of Veterans Affairs. We get the latest from CBS's Vicki Barker.
A CBS News crew captured this exchange between a homeless veteran and Robert McDonald last month.
What unit? Special Forces. Special Forces? What years? I was in Special Forces.
McDonald has now apologized for what he's calling his inaccuracy. The VFW's Jerry Newberry says the VA boss gets a pass on this one.
He didn't serve in a Special Forces unit, but he had the Ranger tab, went through the training. And he was certainly qualified to serve.
Newberry says McDonald was likely just trying to connect with that.